Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
Lord, in this place this morning, the word is that I believe he needed me to bring forth this morning. How many are thankful for the word of God? Amen. It is life, it is breath, it is health, it is good. Amen. If you will, I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30, and we'll get there in just a second. I want to kind of give you a recap, slightly, if I can, of what maybe has transpired just previous to this portion of Scripture, to kind of give you a little bit of background. And at this point, what we see is David had been doing some good things. How many remember that David killed Goliath, right? And so from that point forward, David kind of became a man of war. He became Saul, King Saul's kind of right-hand man, along with his son Jonathan. And he began to just do mighty exploits in war, and God had basically favored David in that light. And people began to sing their songs that Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And so again, there was a little bit of jealousy that arose on behalf of King Saul. And what eventually happened was David became an outcast because Saul sought to kill him and destroy his life because of that jealousy. And so we know that God had removed his blessing from King Saul, and he had placed it upon David to be that next appointed king of Israel. And within those boundaries, David also knew that it was not within his power or ability to remove Saul from his position as king, even though he had a few opportunities to do so. He refused to, as he said, touch God's anointed. He figured that if God had appointed him, God would also make a way for him to take the throne in a proper position. So David is basically a fugitive from King Saul at this point. And as he is running from King Saul, trying to survive, he is collecting this group of men, if you will, that keep following him. And not only just men of war, but their families are coming alongside with them. And so eventually David comes to the point where he goes, man, I cannot stay basically within the boundaries of Israel anymore. This is just never going to stop. And so he determined within himself to move out, all right? And so of all the places that he goes to the land of the Philistines. How many think he would be real welcome there, all right? So he was in such a bad spot that he said, I can't stay in Israel, so I'm going to go back to my enemies. And not only just back to my enemies, but he went to basically the king Achish, which was the king of Gath, which is where Goliath was from. So not only did he just go to the Philistines, he went to the very sect of Philistines by which he slew their forever, like, you know, mightiest warrior. So I don't know if it was, yes, you're welcome because we fear you, or yes, we welcome you because we salute you. but nonetheless, King Achish said, hey, come on, you can live here for a while. And so he actually gave David and all of his followers this place called Ziklag, all right? And so that's kind of where we're coming to this point of for this morning. But David had been so faithful that King Achish wanted to take him into battle. All of the Philistines had come against Israel again. They were getting ready for a time, a season of war, and they were setting up opposing camps. And so Achish says, hey, I've got to go join the fight. I want you to come with me. So David takes all of his men, and they make a three-day journey to meet up with the other Philistines who are going to be in war with the Israelites. And so when they get there, all of the other lords of the Philistines, as the Bible says, were like, what did you do bringing this guy here? Are you crazy? Like, don't you remember what he did to Goliath? Don't you remember what he's done to us in past times? How in the world can you trust this guy? And basically, Achish is like, look, he hasn't done me wrong at all right? Well, they were like, Achish, you're crazy. Send that boy home. So they have another three-day journey back home, and that's kind of where we find them this morning. So I want to read the first four verses with you in 1 Samuel chapter 30 this morning. It says, 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they found the Amalekites had made a raid into Nobah and Ziklag. They had crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. They had carried off the women and children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. How many of you have ever been in a position where life just led you to a place where you felt like everything had been taken from you? It was utterly destroyed. I can imagine that as they began to approach Ziklag, what they saw probably long before they could actually figure out what was going on was the plumes of smoke. And then again, they began to smell that aroma of a fire. And I believe what happened in that moment was their hearts began to probably become troubled. But once they got there and realized that everything that they had, not just a material possession, but their wives, their children, everything that they had was taken away from them. It was gone. And so these mighty men of war, who again, we would not say would be men who would break down and cry, they all, it says, broke down and they began to weep until they had no more power to weep. Basically, what that means is that they wailed and they cried and they shed tears in grief until they physically could not do any of those things anymore. They had come to a position in their life where they didn't have the strength to cry anymore. They had no more tears to cry. They had no more strength to give wailing or crying. And they were just basically at this place of complete and utter brokenness. Grief was, again, in this moment, operating in an unfortunate situation because it was taking their hearts that had been so affectionate towards David as their future king and as their current leader and man of war, and what was turning against them. It says that they were grieved in the King James, and what that word grieved means is that they became rebellious. They were so heartbroken at the loss of their wives and their children and all of their material goods, that the man that they trusted the most, they began to turn on him, and they began to again talk of stoning him because they were so grieved within their hearts. So again, if we read 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6, it says this: David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began talking of stoning him. You see, but David, in the midst of this moment, still grieving himself, he wasn't exempt. He lost everything, just like every one of his men lost something that day. In the middle of him still grieving, he had some really tough choices to make. And how many knows that sometimes in the middle of our storms, in the middle of life's toughest challenges, we have some tough choices to make. And David began to do a few things that I feel like stuck out, and I want to bring those to you this morning. And the first thing that he did was he strengthened himself in the Lord. If we read the other half of that verse, can you go back just a hair? All right, David was now in great danger because all of his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began talking of stoning him. But David found strength in the Lord his God. How many are thankful today that we can find strength in the Lord? We talked about Wednesday night how the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that word strength meaning that it's like a place of refuge, a strong tower that we can run to and we can find what we need in those moments of sorrow. And that's exactly what David did. He began to strengthen himself in the Lord in this moment. The King James uses the word encouraged. Look at your neighbor and say, encouraged. How many know sometimes you may look for strength, you may look for encouragement, and you won't find it anywhere else. And even those who may be closest to you at that moment, they might not be there like they normally are there because they're just as hurt as you are. And all they can see in that moment is where they feel like you failed. Well, I'm not there. Praise the Lord that you're not. But how many knows life can bring that moment pretty quick? You see, and David and all of his men were there. But it says that he strengthened himself in the Lord, or he encouraged himself in the Lord. And to strengthen or encourage yourself in the Lord means that he had decided to do a few things. And that word, when you look at it, means that he decided to fasten himself to the Lord. How many knows in those moments there's nobody better to partner with than God Almighty? Amen. He fastened himself to the Lord. It says that he fortified himself within the Lord. Again, running to him as that tower of strength, that place of refuge for him. And it also means to bind yourself to the Lord. You see, so in this moment where he was encouraging, we think of, well, he just tried to cheer himself up. It goes beyond just trying to cheer yourself up. In a moment of grief, how many knows there's not much that can really cheer you up? In a moment of deep sorrow and heartache, there's really not a lot that can probably bring that merriness to your life, that gladness, that hope. So he knew that because of past times and past battles and past issues of life. And so he knew what he needed to do immediately in this moment was strengthen himself. But the only way to do it was to fortify himself, was to bind himself, was to fasten himself to the Lord. Because he knew that was going to be his only avenue of escape from this moment. How many knows it's still our only avenue of escape? You see, he began to, again, fasten himself and fortify and bind himself to the Lord. And what that basically means is as he was doing that, it was for a purpose. How many knows we need to draw closer to the Lord for a purpose? And there was a purpose behind him strengthening or encouraging himself in the Lord, because there's three distinct things that basically, when you look these words up, that they begin to happen or that they represent, all right? And that is this. It means to, again, be strengthened, but to find help and to be repaired. How many knows when you're broken by what life has given you and you have no other avenue? He had 600 men and not a single one of them was offering him a hand of help. They loved him. They would fight for him. They would do many, many exploits for him. But in this moment, they were all at that same level of brokenness. And so they couldn't bring him the help that he needed. They couldn't be that relief, that aid, that encouragement, that strength. So he went to the Lord for help. How many knows that's the only place we can run? Amen. We have to go to him for help. But it's not just help. David went to him because David knew he needed to be repaired. Because he knew he couldn't do what was necessary for those next few steps of life if his heart didn't become right with his heavenly Father. So he looked to him for strength. He looked to him for help. But he looked for him to begin to put back the pieces of his heart, even in that moment, to be repaired in the presence of the Lord. You see, I believe, again, that David knew that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy does come in the morning. I believe that he still knew that God was his refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. I believe he knew that, and I believe that is why he very specifically strengthened or encouraged himself in the Lord. Can I tell you this morning that sometimes you may have to pick up your own bootstraps and encourage yourself in the Lord? There may not be anybody there to help you. Your spouse may not be there. Your children may not be there. Co-workers may not be there. And to be honest with you, there may even be a point where you're in a situation and you're disconnected from your church body and you can't get to where they are and they can't get to where you are. And you're going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord. That's real encouraging this morning, isn't it? Knowing that one day, one moment, you may have to encourage yourself. But you see, again, David, I believe, knew that the Lord had never failed him yet, and that if he was going to overcome this moment, he had to strengthen himself in the Lord and the Lord alone. Amen. The second thing is this: he positioned himself as a priest. And I'm going to kind of try to explain this a little bit to you this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 7 says this: Then he said to Abithar, the priest, bring me the ephod. So Abithar brought it. Now, what this is talking about, this ephod, all right, it's one of four garments that the high priest would wear as he would enter the sanctuary interior every day, as he was commanded to do and to do his responsibilities within that sanctuary in the inner portion of the temple. And again, that was done twice daily for the high priest. So the ephod, again, was one of four garments that had to be worn in this process that God had instructed and said, hey, look, they have to be of a specific design and because they have specific reasonings behind them. And so this was just one of those elements. But I want to kind of describe to you why this is more than just a garment or a religious apparel moment. David wasn't just playing dress up. He had a specific reason, I believe, for requiring the ephod of the priest. Because again, there were specific ceremonial pieces instructed and designed by God to be worn, again, by the high priest only. When wearing them, he would basically become that representative for all of Israel. How many knows that before Jesus Christ, the high priest had to go in and atone for sin? You see, and when he would don that apparel, all right, What it meant was that he was that, quote, go-between, that intercessor. He was a representation of the entire nation of Israel. And so in this very same kind of moment, we see David taking on that same weight and responsibility, if you will, by asking or requiring the ephod to come and to put it on. Now, again, we know that he strengthened himself in the Lord, okay? He began to fasten and fortify and bind himself to the Lord, but he also began to step into a position to where he could intercede for his men before God. And how many know sometimes, even in the midst of your pain and your suffering, you may have to be an intercessor for others? And how many knows in those moments, we really don't feel like praying for ourselves, much less praying for anybody else? But he donned that responsibility in that moment. And he positioned himself and he began to again cry out to God and ask for direction and ask for what needed to be done. He became again that intercessor. Did he need to do that? No, there was a priest, right? Abithar was there. He was doing his job, supposedly, all right? And David could have said, hey man, I need you to step in. But instead, he knew his position. He knew the weight and responsibility was on him. And so he donned again that ephod. And a lot of times I think we would say, well, hey, there's Pastor John. Let's just let Pastor John do it. Well, it's not my job. Anybody ever said that before? That's not my job. That's not my responsibility. This isn't my fault. I didn't do this. I didn't make this happen. But how many know sometimes life just happens? And God just needs people who are willing to stand up, strengthen themselves in the Lord, and stand in the gap and intercede for those who can't intercede for themselves. They were broken, they were grieved to the point where they had no physical strength left within their bodies. But David said, you know what? I know that I'm facing the same thing they're facing, but God, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to strengthen myself in you. And I know that once I'm strengthened in you, I can do this. How many knows that we may not feel able, but when we begin to put ourselves in that position, God will make us able. And our weakness, he becomes our strength, amen? So again, David strengthened himself in the Lord and he positioned himself, if you will, as priest. And he didn't give excuses in that moment. He just made an executive decision. I'm going to stand in the gap and I'm going to intercede for these men who are just as broken as I am broken. Which led him to a third thing, and that is he prayed. Everybody say he prayed. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 8 says this, then David asked the Lord, should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them? And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. You see, he gets to the point where he says, look, I need to know that if this is the next step, that I'm gonna not just leave here, but I wanna know that I'm gonna gain the victory. How many of you sometimes you hesitate because you're afraid that you might not gain the victory? Just a reality of human nature, right? You're already hard-pressed. You're already in a position where you feel like your back is against the wall. And we wonder, Lord, I know that I can find strength in you. God, I know that I can find direction in you. But God, am I really going to gain the victory? And that's what David was asking. He was saying, can I pursue these people? And not only can I pursue them, but I want to know that when I catch up with them, I can overtake them. And I think, again, in our human nature, we feel that same way even today in 2019 about the circumstances and the challenges that we may face in life. Because we want to know that we can't just catch up to something, but that we want to overtake it. We want to win or gain the victory in that moment. So again, David, he asked, he inquires of God. And he knew, again, that consulting the Lord through prayer was not just the best option in this moment, but it was a necessary appointment of counsel if he and his men were going to overcome this life-crushing weight and experience that had impacted their life. How many knows prayer is important? How many knows we should be engaged in prayer more times than when we're just under the pressure of life? If the only time you're going to prayer is when you're under the pressure of life, you're missing out on the blessing and the power of prayer in your life. Because prayer is there for that daily communication with you and your Heavenly Father, amen? It's there for daily bread. It's there for daily sustenance, daily deliverance, daily power to overcome sin, amen? It's not just when life gets to where you feel like it's unbearable and it's dark, so dark that you can't see. It's for every day and every occasion and every situation. And I think David knew that. David knew that he needed direction. He needed to know that if he pursued this enemy, that he would again not just catch up with them and maybe be able to get a few things back, but he wanted to know that he was going to be able to overtake them or completely again gain the victory. And how many know that God has promised us the victory? Amen. We're standing in a better place than David was even in that moment. As good as God was to him and as faithful as he was to save and to deliver and to be his shield and his buckler and his victory. How many knows today we stand in a completed victory through Jesus Christ? Amen. You see, prayer again is powerful. It is a powerful tool in the life of the believer, but it must be employed. How many knows that the most unpowerful prayer you can pray is the one you don't pray? Prayer is a powerful tool, but we have to employ it. We have to use it this morning. James tells us that at times we have not because we ask not. It's kind of like, hey, duh, pray. I know there are moments as a father where my children allude to things, but they don't ask for things. Guess what I don't do when they elude? I don't give them anything. I may have what they need in my pocket. It may be within arm's reach. It may be totally obtainable. But nothing is done until they ask for it. Can I tell you today that God has many, many, many good things available for each and every one of us today, and they're within arm's reach? But we have to ask. James says, we have not because we ask not. And then he goes on to also say that sometimes it's not because that we don't ask, but it's that we ask amiss because we want to misuse it on our own desires. How many know prayer is not to be misused? It's to be used properly. And when it's used properly, it says the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It accomplishes more than we can ever really begin to ask or think. You see, prayer led to a promise of victory that caused David and his men to pursue the enemy, which produced the promise of a victory, and they recovered all. It wasn't just a promise now. Now it was a promise that had been put into action, and they were living that promise of victory out. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 18 and 19 says, David got back everything the Amalekites had taken, and he rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, small or great, son or daughter, nor anything else that had been taken. David brought everything back. And can I tell you this? That not only did David bring what they lost back, but he brought back multiplied more because that particular party had been out raiding and they had so much plunder that the Bible says they didn't even know what to do. They were so spread out just trying to look at everything they had stolen and raided from all of these other places that they were not able to even be camped together. There was so much. And so in that moment, God didn't just give David back what he lost and what his men lost. He gave them abundantly above that. And how many knows that's the way God works? Amen. When we strengthen ourselves in him, when we go to him and we position ourselves in a place to be an intercessor, whether again it's for ourselves or for someone else, and we begin to pray and we begin to rely on his promise and his word, and we act on that instruction that he's given us through those things, how many knows he brings that abundant life? Amen. And so they got back way more than they had ever thought of losing. So this morning, you may feel like the enemy has taken everything of value from you. You may feel like you have been left with nothing this morning. Again, today, you may feel that way, and maybe you feel like you're in a place. Maybe you feel like you're in a season where you have just wept so long that you're numb. You don't even have the ability, the power to weep anymore, and you don't feel like you can feel anything. Anybody ever been to that place where you just feel like you can't feel anything? You're just numb. You're just tired of losing. You're tired of the enemy taking everything seemingly from you. You see, we may be in that place. We may feel like we're in that place, But again, we don't have to stay in that place today, amen? Because we can follow this pattern and example that we see in David's life. And we begin, again, we can begin to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. We can get to that place where we're fastening our life to him, binding ourselves to him, fortifying ourselves in him. Because how many knows when we are in him, the enemy cannot touch us, amen? And so we need to understand this morning that we can strengthen ourselves in the Lord. We need to, again, meet him in prayer and let him begin to strengthen us so that he can help us, so that he can repair us from the inside out. We need to be able to, again, in that moment, receive the instruction and the promises of his word and then take action accordingly. Recover all. Well, David could have sat back and said, well, God promised I was going to recover all. And he could have sent us some wonderful blessings, but look at the things before the blessing. He said, yes, but you shall pursue and you shall overtake. So if we're not willing to get up and pursue and overtake, we will not recover all. You see, we have to put skin in the game too. God is faithful, but we have to follow the instruction of his word as he gives it to us. And again, at that point, we can then stand in the promise of victory and recover all again so that nothing is missing. It said everything, great and small. That means every fork, utensil, they got it all back. Everything. Favorite little teddy bear, it came back. You see, they recovered all. And I don't know where you're at this morning, and I don't know if that interests you. Maybe right now you feel like you're on the top of the world, and I hope and pray that you are. But I've been in those moments where I didn't have another tear to cry. I've been in those moments where there was nothing left in the tank, and I was empty. And then I found myself understanding that the only way I'm going to make this work, the only way that I'm going to get through this is to strengthen myself in the Lord. Is to attach myself to him, to stand in that gap, and to begin to pray and let him do what he does best and let me obey his word. Amen? If you would stand with me this morning, I want you to take note of one other thing that I found really kind of interesting as I began to study this week. And if we go, let me see. If we go back, I want to read verses 8 through 10. I'm sorry, I think it's just 8 and 9, actually. It says, then David asked the Lord, should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them? And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. So David and his 600 men set out, and they came to the brook Besor. Now, I'm weird, and every time I see a name like that, I have to look it up. I don't know why. It's something that's broken within me. And I looked up that name, and do you know what Besor means? It means cheerful. God took them from a miserable place and pushed them to a place of cheerfulness, of joy. But what happened was then they got to that place of joy and they had to make a choice. Am I going to cross this and pursue and overtake and recover all? Or am I going to stay here in just this place? You see, today we have a choice. He will bring us to a place of joy, but we have to make the decision of whether or not we're going to cross through that, use that joy to be that strength, as Nehemiah 8 and 10 tells us, the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? And we have to make that choice to then pursue and overtake and recover. You see, there were 600 men. 400 of them said, I have the strength to go. 200 said, I don't. We have to stay. And maybe this morning you feel like, you know what? I've heard what you've said. I've read the scriptures that you've presented this morning. And maybe you feel like, you know what? I can make it. And I'm going to pursue. I'm going to overtake. And I'm going to win the victory that God has promised me. Maybe that's you this morning. You came in, maybe you're feeling a little defeated, maybe you're feeling a little weak in your faith, but now you've kind of been energized. God brought you to a place of joy this morning through his word, and so now you're like, no, I can do this. I can make it. I can cross over, and I can recover all. I can gain the victory. But maybe this morning you're like those 200 who said, we just can't. We're too broken. We're too weary. Grief has just taken too much out of us. Can I tell you what David did? They went, they recovered all, and as they came back, David greeted those 200 men, it says, like cheerfully, gladly, joyfully. And some of the people that went to fight with him said, hey, no, they don't get anything. They didn't cross over, and so they don't get any of the spoils of this. Give them their wives and their children back. Give them their possessions, and then they need to hit the road. David said, whoa, hold on, man. He said, God's blessed us. God's given us the ability to overtake our enemy and to not only regain what we have, but to regain more than we had. He said, so today I'm making a new law. Those who go to war and those who stay by the supplies, they all get the same benefits. You see, today you may feel like you have strength to push through, but today there may be somebody standing in this place that they need you to walk through for them. Maybe today you're in that position. You're like, well, man, I'm not discouraged. I'm not downtrodden. I'm not broken by the situations of life. Great, because there is somebody in here that needs you to walk for them. There's somebody in here this morning that needs you to step up and help them come to that place in victory and to gain what God has for them. Amen? You see, whether you're in that 400 who feel like they can or the 200 that can't, today I believe God still has victory for you. But we as the body have to step up. We got to be willing to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, to position ourselves as an intercessor and to pray our tails off. And then to follow the instructions we gain through that prayer and through His word. Amen. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you for, God, how you have time and time again stepped in and made provision. God, you've pulled us out of pit after pit. God, you've pulled us through storm after storm, through, Lord, darkest valley after darkest valley. God, you have been so faithful. And God, I'm thankful this morning that when those moments come, God, when there is no help, when there's no hope from anyone else surrounding our lives, God, that we have the ability to bow our heads, to bend our knees, and God, to begin to strengthen ourselves in who you are. God, to position ourselves in you, God, as an intercessor. Lord, whether it be for ourselves, for our marriage, for our home, our family, God, our workplace, our community, our church body. Lord, whatever the need is, you have given us the ability, God, to fasten ourselves to you, to intercede, God, and to pray. And I thank you so much for that ability, God, to communicate with you directly. God, I thank you that you hear us when we pray, and God, that you're never slow to act, but God, you always respond in perfect timing and in perfect measure. So Father, I pray if there are those here this morning who feel defeated by life, God, I pray that they would stand and strengthen themselves in you, position themselves in you, and begin to pray and allow you to do, God, what you do so best, and that is to bring the victory. God, help us to understand today that everything can be recovered. God, through your love, through your mercy, through your grace.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.